morning to everybody. I'd like to look at a scripture in Isaiah, the 55th chapter this morning. Isaiah 55, and verse 6. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I like these scriptures. They're an encouragement. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, that's very important for us all to seek God during our lives, throughout life. It's not just a one-time thing, but to continue to seek God, to know him, to understand him. I like the part where it says, for he will abundantly pardon. I believe that today, that God will abundantly pardon our failures, our sins, our failures, our mistakes, the things that we didn't understand. There's great, abundant pardon for us today, and I thank the Lord for that. But in verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I feel like it's important for us to... You know, sometimes when we visit with people, it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm that way too. Maybe we have pretty strong opinions of how we think. That the way I think about it is the right way to think about it. But we want to know this morning that our thoughts really don't amount to a whole lot. It's God's thoughts that really count, and that really matter in life. And we want to seek him. We want to seek the Lord for his thoughts. That's one of my prayers I pray probably most every day. Lord, would you talk to me today? Would you speak to me? Would you cause me to hear your words? Cause me to be able to understand and take hold of the things that you have for me. And I believe the Lord is interested in that prayer. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to work in our lives. And he wants to be our guide, our teacher. And I believe he can. And going on down in the 10th verse, it said, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Who heard that lightning about 4 o'clock last night? Or this morning? About 3, 4 o'clock, it started pouring down at our place. I figured everybody heard it. Ponca City out to Fairview. It was loud. But it was a good sound. Usually when there's a clash, a thunder, usually it starts the rain. I don't know how that works, but it seems like it starts the rain to falling, to coming down to the earth. And it's been pretty dry here, 100 degrees. Our ground's looking a little, grass is looking a little brown. And that's a good sound to be able to, and then to have a break in the hot temperatures. Of course, it's supposed to warm up real quick. But it sure felt good this morning. But Jesus, here the word says, as the rain cometh down from heaven. You know, the Lord wants to, and our world is dependent upon rain. If it didn't rain, we'd be in big trouble. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord withheld the rain for 3.5 years there in that area. 3.5 years, no rain. That would probably get people's attention, I'd imagine, pretty quick. But the rain has a purpose in causing things to grow. It gives life. It causes things to green up. And it brings freshness and newness. In verse 11 it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It's just like the rain. God wants His word to bring that freshness, that life, that vitality, that strength, as the rain does the earth. He wants His word to do that to our hearts and our life. He wants His word to bring in that life and that strength to us that we need. And He says, it shall not return unto me void. That's the word of God. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, I was thinking about how I believe the Lord, there's a scripture in Job that says, yea, the Lord speak once, twice, three times. I can't quote the scripture, but it says, man comprehendeth it not. You know, sometimes we've got to focus in. We've got to tune in to what the Lord is wanting to speak to us, what He wants to talk to us about. We've got to turn our hearts and our minds. And I believe all these scriptures run together. Seek ye the Lord. Call upon Him while He may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way. You know, when we come to God, we got to forsake our thoughts, our agendas. We got to forsake sin. We got to forsake unrighteous thoughts to return unto God, to look to Him, to be able to receive rain from heaven in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirit, that God can renew us and strengthen us and help us in our life. But I believe the Lord's word will accomplish. It is a powerful, it's the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive, it's powerful, and it can produce in our lives what it should produce if our heart is in the right place. If our heart is yearning for Him and seeking out after Him and putting Him first, that Word, the Lord can water us. And the Lord has many different ways that He can speak into our lives. And I thank God that He has all of heaven and all of nature that He can use to speak into our hearts and lives when He wants to. I want to get another verse in the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah, the first chapter, in the fourth verse, it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. You know, I really like that when it says, the word of the Lord came unto me. Sometimes it says, thus saith the Lord. You know, We sing a song, it mentions, it says, myriads now wait for His Word. In other words, they're looking to God for His Word, for Him to speak. And He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, God intimately knows us. He's telling Jeremiah here, He said, I knew you before you were came forth. Before I formed thee, and the Lord said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. I knew who you were. And He said, I had a plan for your life. You believe God has a plan for our life today? I believe He does. I believe He's got a plan for us, our life, for us to use the gifts and the things that He's given us in life to be productive. God has a plan, I believe, for each one. In verse 6, He said, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, Jeremiah wasn't a world ruler. He didn't have world authority like a Nebuchadnezzar or, you know, Cyrus, those people that ruled the known world at that time. He wasn't that way, yet the Lord said, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down and to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. You know, I believe God wanted to bless every nation. I know He chose Israel for His lineage and His seed to come through. But the way I see it in Scripture, God blesses those that seek Him. Whatever nationality they were, you remember Naaman, he wasn't an Israelite. He was outside of Israel, but he came to Israel because the little girl said, God wants to bless. He wanted to bless the nations. He wanted to bless. And Jeremiah was. When you read the book of Jeremiah, God gave him words for the nations. Not just for Israel, but for the nations. And I don't know how they sent letters. I don't know how the word got there. But God had word for the nations, for people. And if they received that word and they yielded to that word, then it worked something good in their life. Just like Nineveh. You know, Jonah went to Nineveh, he preached repentance, turn away from your sin. And the people received it. That, you know, Jonah, if he could only realize the praying that was going on in Nineveh and the fasting that was going on and the people that were humbling their hearts and turning away from their sins, that was a... God used that. God blessed that, and the people turned away, and they were blessed by that. But those that didn't believe, those that turned away, those that said, oh, no, I'm not going to accept that, and they didn't turn from their wickedness like Israel. Now, Jeremiah prophesied when Israel was backsliding, backslidden. They'd gone away from God. They'd gone into idolatry. It was a difficult time. Jeremiah didn't make a whole lot of friends. He didn't have a whole lot of friends. But he was faithful to speak the words that God gave to him. And God blessed him for that. And we read in the 11th verse, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto him the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." I don't know if this was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream. I don't know if it was something that he saw in life. But God used these pictures to help Jeremiah to identify what the Lord was saying and what the Lord was doing. And I believe God does that today. He'll use... I'm a visual learner, and God will give me different things that have to do with my vision, my sight, my seeing, to speak to me, to help me to recognize what His heart, what His thought is to us. And we want to recognize our thoughts, ever so good they might be, are good sometimes. But we really want the Lord to speak to us. We want Him to speak into our situation, into our circumstances. We want the Lord to talk to us and to help us. When the Lord speaks to us, you can bank on it, you can count on it, you can live on it. You can know it's going to be faithful, it's going to be true, it's going to come to pass. That's the way God is. And He'll help us, I believe, if we have a heart to seek out another place, another... I really enjoy Jeremiah. I've studied a lot in Jeremiah before, but I appreciate the things that God gave to Jeremiah. In the 18th chapter, we have the familiar scripture in the first verse. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." So here again, the Lord is giving Jeremiah a picture. He goes down to the potter's house. Somehow the Lord impressed upon his mind, on his heart, to go to the potter's house. He said, I want you to go to the potter's house, and I will cause you to hear my words. You know, that's important for us today, to hear God's word. He said, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." I could see Jeremiah, don't know what he looked like, just in a posture, just watching, observing this man making a pot with pottery, with clay. He's sitting here and he's observing it. The Lord, he felt impressed. It felt in his heart that God wanted him to be there, and he He went there and he watched, and this is what he saw. He saw the vessel marred in the potter's hands. You think that was by accident? I believe the Lord had his hand in that. You know, sometimes the Lord has his hand in our failures more than we realize. But God wants to show him something here. And he took the clay, and it says, so he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. He didn't throw the clay away. He may have added a little bit more water to it and started, you know how they, you know, they lump it and pound it and start beating on it a little bit and soften it up, and then they put it on that, slap it on that wheel, and they start forming again. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah at that moment. It said the word of the Lord, as he was watching that, the word of the Lord came to him saying, O house of Israel, you know, that's you and me, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. You know, the word of the Lord came to him and it gave hope, it gave strength, it gave blessing, it gave help. I think about there's another scripture here in Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Well, I just spoke to us of times that God spoke to the prophet. different times, different seasons, different manners that he spoke to the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, the Lord, some people don't read the Old Testament. I think we ought to take the whole book. There's lessons in the Old Testament. I believe the New Testament, there's greater emphasis on what Jesus taught, what he preached, what he gave, being the Son of God, the sacrifice that he made. I believe that's stands above and beyond everything, but we can get good from all Scripture. One verse talks, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. We need the Word of God. And to say there is no typo errors, to say there's no some small words that haven't been translated quite correctly, I don't know. But I will say, this book is very accurate, and I will say the message comes through. God has given us His message. He's spoken to us through the prophets. They all point to Christ. He has spoken to us through Christ. And the disciples that came, they spoke of Christ. It all points, the Old Testament pointed to Christ. So we have there's a good, strong foundation that God has laid for us in the Scriptures, the prophecies that God has fulfilled and placed. He said in another place, Paul said, it's a savor of life unto life. But others, it said it was a savor of death unto death. The same word. How it can rain upon somebody's soul and bring forth life and greenery and fruit and freshness, and another soul right next to it doesn't get it, doesn't receive, is not able to absorb, is not able to take it in. I want us to look now in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. And I believe Jesus gives the answer to this dilemma. In the 8th chapter of Luke, He talks about the parable of the sower. And I won't take time this morning to read the whole thing. But in verse 11, He said the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. And it talked about the wayside. It said, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's the wayside. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. They believe for a while, but after a while, when temptation comes, difficulties come, storms of life come, it says they fall away. And the answer is found, it's not the seed. The seed is good. The seed will produce. But it's the ground that I furnish for the seed. It's what's in my heart. He's talking about different conditions of the human heart. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. They heard the word. It started growing. But there were too many distractions. There were too many things that were growing, just like a garden that's full of weeds. It takes over. I don't know. Weed seems like they're pretty hardy. They grow pretty fast, and they just take over. They take over the good. But He said that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, I want to I'm not for sure what all it means with about this patience thing here. It says bring forth fruit with patience. But I remember we bought our first house there in Guthrie. It had an apple tree, and I was so excited. It was just all gnarled over. It had been unkept. Nobody had pruned it in years and years. And I went through and pruned it, and lo and behold, little green apples started growing. You know, it's so good to see little green apples growing in people's lives. It's such a blessing and encouragement. And I didn't know if they were red apples or green apples. You know, there's green apples and there's red apples. Anyway, I'd pluck one off every now and then and try it. Nah, not ready yet. Oh, I just kept... You know, I thought it was so cool that you could go get an apple off the tree. You didn't have to go... I wasn't raised on the farm, y'all. I was a city. A city dweller. But it was so cool to be able to go pick fresh fruit off the tree, not have to go to the store and get it. And I like fruit trees. But later in the season, I went and picked apples, and they were so good. It took time for their perfection. It took time for their ripeness to occur. So I want to encourage us, don't give up on yourself. He says, bring forth fruit with patience. You know, it takes patience and being able to hear the word of the Lord. It takes, because God don't speak to us always on our terms and on our conditions. You know, the testimony at Wednesday night, that word that came to me was right. It was the timing. I'd been praying for quite a while. But the Lord knew when the time was right to speak to me, when it would have the most effect. So I want to encourage us in patience when you seek the Lord to be patient on God, wait upon Him, look to Him, because He does want to speak. But I want to bring this thought that I've got to have Him first in my life. And that's one thing that we have to cultivate, is the garden of our heart. What's in the things that are in my heart, the things that are working in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. Because I know, and I get this when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, He said to them, He said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another? And He spoke different times about their efforts being, the focus of their efforts was to, for the praise and the honor of men. That's what was motivating. It wasn't because they were in love with God. Just like Judas, you know, when he accused the lady or accused them of wasting the money, it wasn't because he cared for the poor. There was other things that was working in his heart. And the Pharisees, though Jesus taught, they told him, said, how long do you make us wait? Why don't you tell us if you be the Christ? And he said, I've already told you, and you didn't believe. Because the garden of their heart wasn't open. It wasn't honest. It wasn't in a place to be able to receive what God had for them. And also in Corinthians, it talks about when the Old Testament is read, it said, the veil is upon the heart. They can't see past the Old Testament. They can't see what God is really wanting to work and to do. He said the veil is on the heart. But it said nevertheless. I think it said that, didn't it? Nevertheless. When it shall turn to the Lord. When the people shall turn to the Lord with all their heart, the veil shall be removed. In other words, when we turn to God and He becomes first. And I want to say this because I believe the devil does what he can to try to get our affections on things of this earth. He tries to get us caught up on our jobs, our hobbies, whatever it may be. He wants to bring something to the foremost and push God to the back. I believe the Lord wants us to enjoy this life. I believe God wants us to have a good life. And I believe the Scriptures maximize us of being able to enjoy life. Not the pleasures of sin, but He wants us to enjoy our existence, our journey. Why did He create all the things, the mountains, the trees? You know, the trees, I was thinking about Brother Leslie. Boy, he came to mind. Brother Leslie loved the trees. So do I. I don't know if I love them as much as he does, but they're a shade. Oh, when the sun is beating down, to be able to go and get under a shade tree somewhere. They give us so much. They give us wood to build houses. They give us fruit to be able to enjoy. Why did the Lord put all these things if He didn't want us to enjoy life? If we're not enjoying what God has given to us, then we got to ask why. What's wrong? Something's happening here. Something's standing in my way. Because He wants us to enjoy. But I found when I put Him first and I enjoy Him, I enjoy His Word, I enjoy His presence. Another place He said, as babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Boy, how do babes come into the world? They're ready to eat. They got the little suction cups. They're ready to drink. And God wants us that way. He wants us, the Word of God, to be our great delight, His presence in our life. He wants to be number one. And when He's number one, I enjoy all these other things better. When the Lord is first in my life, I enjoy my wife better. I enjoy my food better. I enjoy the weather better. My outlook is better. My attitude is better. Everything is better. But if I allow God to become second place or third place, you know, that's really, it's a form of idolatry. I'm letting something take the place of God in my life. And you know what? It cuts my hearing off. Then I get to where I don't hear the voice of God. I don't really hear what He's wanting to say, what He's wanting to teach. I want to close this morning. There's a scripture. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ, the Word of God, dwell in us richly. And Brother Galen mentioned Mary. That came to my mind. Also, I wanted to mention her. It said she pondered these things in her heart. The different things that happened of God dealing and speaking with Mary and the things that transpired, it said she pondered them. In other words, she began to think about, what does this mean? What does this mean for my life? What does this mean for my future? How does this affect me? And I believe God wants us to do that. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does it mean to me? Does it mean anything? Does it have the scriptures we read in Jeremiah when he said, I knew you before your mother's womb. When you, I knew you. Does that mean anything to us? Does that mean anything to me? It should. You might say, oh, well, he was just a prophet. He was a special chosen one of God. The Lord is no respecter of persons. The Lord has a place for every life. He has a place for people. So let's ponder these things. Ponder the Word of God. Let it dwell richly in our life, and it will be just like the rain that falls from heaven, that waters, that gives life, that gives strength, that gives courage to face tomorrow, to face next week. That's what the Word of God can do for us if we'll allow it. And Isaiah brought that out. He said, it's just like, we see that. We see the rain come down. You can walk outside and just let the rain fall on you. Sometimes that feels so good when it's been hot. His Word does that. That's the comparison. Just like the rain that comes from heaven, so my Word will come down and it will nourish and accomplish the thing and prosper where I sent. I appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.